Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, around one quarter of primary and post-primary pupils reported that they were bullied, while a third of post-primary pupils said they didn't feel they could fully express themselves in the school environment. These figures are contained in a report by Department of Education inspectors into bullying behaviour in schools. And for some reaction, we're joined now by James O'Higgins-Norman, UNESCO Chair on Bullying and Cyberbullying in DCU, and by Simon Lewis, the Principal of Carlow Educate Together, and you're both very welcome. Simon, I might come to yourself first, because really these are pretty devastating figures, aren't they? And they highlight the problem of bullying in both primary and post-primary schools. What's your reaction to it?
Hi, it's good to talk to you again. Yeah, they are very, very worrying figures, aren't they? And in some ways, not hugely surprising either. I guess in recent years, bullying, I think, has increased a lot given the access that children have to, I suppose, devices that allow them to bully outside of school. And a lot of that bullying behaviour can, you know, sort of seep itself into the school building then, with where relationships are damaged and ruptured and all the rest of it. It's a really, really horrible kind of set of statistics, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and obviously, as you say, technology has evolved so rapidly and children's access to technology has evolved so rapidly. Do you think the education system has been left a bit flat-footed, you know, just not evolving with it?
I kind of think that it's manifold. I'm no expert in bullying, but I mean, things don't help. And I always think you need to go back to the structures that are in place in schools. And I can only speak at primary level, but you know, over the last couple of decades, we've seen a huge change to the landscape of education. And how we haven't been able to catch up with that. And we can look at, you know, situations where we have much more multicultural schools with a huge amount of diversity, and the instead of supporting children, you know, who may feel that they don't belong in a school, we're seeing cuts to those sort of things. So we're talking about, you know, children where English might not be a first language. There's been cuts to that over the last number of years. We've saw in 2009 the grant for traveller children cut just during the recession and never returned. And then we're also seeing the other wider impacts of diversity. So you have lots of children with different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions being foisted into schools where one faith dominates. And how do you feel you belong if you're sitting at the back of the classroom for half an hour a day? So there's loads and loads of different reasons why children might feel they don't belong, and why they might feel, you know, they may be more susceptible to, you know, behaviours that would be negative.
Simon, stay with us. We also have James O'Higgins-Norman. And James, what's your reaction to this report?
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate the department on being brave enough to conduct this research and then to put it out publicly for us all to consider. I think one of the reasons that bullying continues in systems is often because people don't name it and identify it and then try and tackle it. But I'd like to just correct a couple of things that have been said already. Bullying, the prevalence of bullying in our schools has been pretty consistent for the last 20 years or more since we started measuring it. It's usually about 20 to 25%, no matter what study you look at. So there isn't more bullying happening in school now than there was in the past. Also, we know from research that somewhere between 1 to 3% of those children who are bullied online are only bullied online. The majority of bullying actually starts in school and makes its way online and then comes back to school. So we need to be careful about going down the road of blaming social media and blaming technology for making the situation worse. We live in a very complex world where children and adults alike are living blended lives, and those lives are online and offline. And the bullying will occur whether technology exists or not, but it is now occurring in two spaces rather than just in one.
And does that not make it worse? You know, I mean, like if you were in school when I was growing up, you're getting bullied, you go home, you get away from it. Now you get home and you don't get away from it. Does that not make it worse?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not. It certainly does make it worse because it's pervasive and it's throughout your whole life if you're being targeted for bullying. But that bullying would have occurred anyway, whether you had the offline or the online dimension as well. But it's really important. This study that the department has put out today points to some of the things that Simon has just said there, that the climate of the school really dictates the extent to which bullying will take place. We know from wider research in Ireland and also internationally that when children have a positive perception of school climate, they report less bullying. And that will be less bullying in school and online. So school climate is really important. And if a school is under pressure because of a lack of resources, because of expectations of society, being put onto schools to sort every problem out that occurs, then the school climate may suffer in that context, and then bullying may actually occur. So we need to really look at our schools at a very deep level. Bullying is not a phenomenon that occurs in a way that is just divorced from the rest of the reality in school.
So what is the key then to a good school climate? How do you go about sorting that out?
Good school climate is one where there is open communication between school leadership and the staff and the students and the parents, and that everybody together is making decisions that affect and impact on the lives of the kids. One of the things that's most absent from our schools is a full recognition of the voice and the agency of the child. I do research in schools all of the time. I've just finished a series of focus groups in schools in the Greater Dublin area. And the one thing I'm hearing from children all the time is nobody is listening to us. They're making decisions about us. We're being told what to wear. We're being told what to learn. We're being told we can have mobile phones. We've been told we can't have mobile phones. Nobody is listening to us. So the first thing we need to do is actually give recognition to the genuine experience and the voice of children in our schools, and then try and respond to that. And that will make a massive difference to school climate.
Simon, what do you think of all that?
Yeah, I think that's all very fair. We would have, as part of our ethos in the school that I'm in, the idea of child voice is hugely important. We have an active student council, as do many schools at the moment. And I do agree, you do certainly get listen to, and there's open communication, and I think I think that's very, very fair. But I also think there is an added sort of dimension which I've kind of been looking into a little bit, and again I'm no expert again, so I could please correct me if I'm wrong, but in other countries that I've visited there seems to be these wraparound services to help children who might be in a crisis that, not necessarily bullying, but it could be bullying, where there's an on-site school psychologist or school counsellor and people like that who can actually help. Because what we have in Ireland is we're relying on this idea of this one good adult, and I don't know how that can really work in reality. Okay. Because what does it really mean, and how can you absolutely know that this one good adult is the right one good adult for the right one child, and so on, and if they exist at all? So
okay. Really interesting perspectives. Yeah, and thank you both very much for joining us. That is Simon Lewis and James O'Higgins Norman. Thank you both. Really interesting to hear from listeners on this as well, because I think everyone has experience at this in one way or another. And if there's anything in particular that you found worked or didn't work, you can text us 51551.